With us this morning is Bob Procopo. He worked for American International Group, otherwise known as AIG. He was in charge of the Global Marine and Energy Division. And one smart guy knows his way around energy. Good morning, Bob Procopo. How are you?
Good. Good morning, John. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Bob, I asked you to join a United Nuclear Group because I believed in you, and I think we both believe in that the next form of energy that's going to run America is going to be SMRs, small modular reactors that will replace oil over the next 30, 40 years. And I think you believe it too. And for our audience that doesn't know what we're talking about, is the same nuclear reactors that run submarines for the last 50, nuclear submarines for the last 50 years, will be transformed to land models that you will be able to use it in small municipalities of 500,000 people and above, maybe. And they're going to be called SMRs. You tell me what you believe and what your thoughts are.
John, I agree with you completely. I think the U.S. has gone off on the wrong tangent. They're going crazy building wind and solar. And at the end of the day, those are opportunistic capacities. If the sun shines, you want to get electricity that way, that's fine. If the wind's blowing, you want to get electricity that way, that's fine. The problem is, as we decrease coal usage in the United States, and by the way, the rest of the world's going in an opposite direction, especially the developing world, and that's primarily because of how cheap coal is. But with the environmentalists doing a good job of killing coal in the United States, coal is baseload capacity. That's the electricity we need 24/7.
I understand China is building a new coal facility like one a week or two every week or something like that?
I believe they've got 61 under construction now, and basically they are not clean coal plants. The U.S. has some of the cleanest coal plants, but that's a different topic. We really want to focus on the SMRs. You brought up nuclear submarines, and the nuclear navy is over 60 years old. The important thing on the nuclear navy side, and submarines are a big part of it, but if you look at an aircraft carrier that houses over 5,000 sailors, it provides all the electricity, all the steam for heat, the steam to launch planes with the catapults. And the safety record has been exemplary. Now, most of the backlash on nuclear power in the United States has been fear of the unknown. Now, there are three major events that people focused on. One is Three Mile Island, and Three Mile Island was a human error. The automated systems immediately shut it down, and there were no dangerous radioactive leaks. The next one was Chernobyl. Chernobyl was a testament to Soviet technology. The Russians basically built nuclear power plants with no containment. If anybody has been around or read anything about nuclear power plants, our power plants in the United States have been designed to take a fully loaded passenger aircraft, including a full load of fuel, a direct hit, and not crack through the rebar and the cement. And they're safe enough that when I went to my first nuclear power plant, which was Indian Point in New York, I took my son with me. And believe me, if there were any fear of anything, he would not have been there, and I probably wouldn't have been there. But when you look at the large-scale nuclear power plants that were built to date, they had one big problem. They were usually built for a load that would exist in 5, 10, 20 years out. And as we all saw when we had the energy crash in the United States, that load never developed. And while you are building for that future load, your current load is only servicing a small portion of the cost of the reactor. This is where small modular reactors came in. People started to downsize, our company started to downsize small modular reactors to fit the niche market. I'm a firm believer that when you hear somebody like President Biden wring his hands every time there's a disaster in Puerto Rico, Bermuda's going through this now. You look at the Caribbean, and John, you pointed to the fact that we want to get away from dirty oil-fired plants. Almost the entire Caribbean is dirty oil-fired plants. We want to do something. Let's do it on a worldwide basis. Let's try to marry up with somebody who makes a small modular reactor. And we can, in fact, do something about climate change. Wind and solar won't do it. Now,
the joke I tell, Bob Picoppo, is if you think that solar and wind is gonna run this country, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
Al Gore poisoned the well with people's minds, and it you're right, it cannot work. The other thing that's an anomaly in there, when you look at gas plants that people brought in, and the environmentalists kind of forced the hand on that, they brought gas in because it was cleaner than coal. Well, and now they want to kill gas. The problem with killing gas, if you don't have gas, you cannot effectively utilize wind and solar. You need that to load balance. So if you look at a stacking curve for electricity, the baseline, the base load need had been historically coal, nuclear, hydropower, and then cats and dogs like biomass burns, waste energy plants, things like that. Where do I go with this? It'll come back to me in a minute.
Yes.
When you look at your peak, like let's assume you're in the summer environment here, air conditioning loads go up and it follows a bell-shaped curve. Gas is ideal because gas is cyclical. If I need more power, I can turn a switch on. Power goes on. Turn that switch off when I'm done with it. Goes away. In addition to environmental issues with gas, the other problem you have with gas is about 95% of the operating expense for a gas plant is fuel. So a small uptick in the price of fuel has an enormous magnifying effect on your operating efficiency. In gas plants, if you look at a coal plants are steel, nuclear plants are steel, specialty steel, the whole nine yards. You look at a gas plant, it looks more like aluminum foil. They were never really designed to run 24/7. Small modular reactors and conventional reactors are. If I need 40 megawatts of capacity now, I get a 40 megawatt module, I put it in place, I've got no dead electrons that aren't generating income. If I need another 40 megawatts or 20 megawatts, whatever the next load increase is, I get another unit and I gang it to it, the first unit. Conventional nuclear power plants need to be refueled every 2 years. Small modular reactors can be refueled in segments up to 20 years. So it decreases the amount of spent fuel you have to deal with. There are many of them that have reactor fuels that are non-weaponizable, which is another reason why people kind of shy away from nuclear. But, you know, going back on, we went through Chernobyl. Let me jump back onto Fukushima. When Fukushima blew, I was asked, because of my background, I was asked to head up the task force to protect our 25,000 people in Japan. And that put me at odds with the U.S. ambassador to Japan. It put me at odds with the person that was designated from the DOD to act as a special liaison. And all they did is they parroted the rhetoric that the Japanese government was putting out. What went wrong with Fukushima is they built spent fuel pools at, I believe it was 3 meters above sea level. And the reason for that was to make it convenient to offload spent fuel rods, send them to France, have them reprocessed like France does, the UK does, and Japan. So in order to make it easy, they took this chance and they built the spent fuel pools at a level that was a fraction of what could conceivably happen during a tsunami and a seismic event which caused the tsunami. When we had the tsunami in there, it was 9 meters above sea level. So you had Japanese need for convenience jeopardizing the lives of people.
Understood.
It doesn't happen in the United States. This has not happened in the United States.
And it hasn't, and our nuclear subs have been, like you said, 60 years have been safe. So for everybody to understand this conversation is John Katzmatidis, we're going into a nuclear, under company United Nuclear
Group.
We're going to the SMRs. And you're going to be the chief operating officer, and we're putting it all together, and we're getting the nuclear sub people to build the nuclear reactors for the nuclear subs, are converting them to be on the ground. In my discussions, Bob Percopo, they think the first one could be installed in 2031, 2032, something like that.
Well, Bill Gates is going down there, and following smart money is probably not a bad idea.
Well,
you're right, but just there's one nuance in there. We are piggybacking off the nuclear Navy safety record. The nuclear Navy has always stayed away from the civilian side because they don't want the NRC getting involved in what they do. They need to move quickly.
Most of their
reactors, it's my understanding, are uranium based and that can be weaponized. So there's a big push to develop fuels that are not weaponizable so that you don't run afoul of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. But basically, you're doing the same thing. You're modifying a fuel to get a bugaboo that you really don't want to have the security equivalent that you have on Navy vessels running around residential communities. But the technology is there. The problem is, and this is something that when I mentioned before, that wind and solar don't get you where you want to be. I gave a speech in Washington probably 10 years ago, and it was a nuclear conference, and I was asked to give my view on the whole situation. The room was filled with contractors, suppliers, developers in the nuclear industry, and they were euphoric because the federal government had made available $450 million in subsidies to be shared between two companies and spread out over 5 years. And the room was just going crazy. The whole thing was buzzing with this. And I said, let me bring one point out to you. That $450 million may sound like a lot. Keep in mind that this same government has invested $30 billion in wind and solar. Had we had a fraction of that in the nuclear side, we would all be living with small modular reactors right now. That,
I
to
agree.
Me, was a major disservice. And,
Bob,
and you know, Yep.
We're out of time.
Okay.
This is for Sunday, our Sunday show, and we only have an hour. But I want to thank you for coming on and explaining it to the American people what the future is going to be like, and what is going to be the new green energy, because Germany and France have already called it a green energy, is going to be like. And thank you for your expertise, and me and you will help shape the future. Thank you so much.
Take care, John. Thank you very much.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.